47 years ago today, Johnny Cash played his famous 1968 concert at Folsom State Prison.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone.
This historical performance further established the Man in Black as a musical trailblazer and spiritual voice of the underdog.
To talk about the significance of that concert, we're joined now by Michael Streisguth, author of Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, The Making of a Masterpiece. Michael, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Well, this was not your typical concert. What was the scene like inside this prison dining hall when they were getting ready for this Johnny Cash show?
Well, if you look at the photographs taken by the rock and roll photographer legend Jim Marshall, as the troupe made their way into the prison, there seemed to be kind of a sense of dread hanging over things. Now, some of that might have had to do with nerves, just over how this recording would go. Cash had finally gotten the permission to record an album in prison. At the same time, some of the people I've talked to said that they were worried about June Carter, who was there with them, that somebody might lunge for her. Somebody told me also that when they entered the gate and were searched and were told that the prison didn't negotiate with hostage takers, that kind of sent a chill through them as well.
So what was going on in Johnny Cash's life at the time he played this concert?
You know, it wasn't a great time in his life and career. He was deep in a drug addiction. He hadn't had a big country pop hit in a number of years along the lines of, say, I Walk the Line or Ring of Fire. He was often no-show at his concerts, so he was quite unreliable. On the performance circuit, so something needed to happen, and this album, which almost immediately jetted to the top of the country charts and the pop charts, really helped turn his career around.
Now, Johnny Cash, as I understand it, had played a concert at San Quentin Prison before he played at Folsom. What was it at that time that spoke to him about reaching out to prisons and getting involved in that issue and with those people?
You know, his prison shows stretched back to the 1950s. He had gotten a letter from an inmate at Huntsville State Prison in Texas. A lot of people heard his Folsom Prison Blues song, which was a hit in 55 and 56, and just assumed that he had been in prison when of course, he never had done hard time. He was in jail a few nights here and there for this and that. And so he was invited to perform, and he did. And he then, as you mentioned, began playing a string of New Year's Day concerts at San Quentin in California. He saw the kind of diversion that a prison concert could be for the inmates. And he also saw just how rowdy and into his show they were. So he knew that if he ever was able to bring recording equipment into a prison and release an album, that it would do well, that it would sound great. The trouble is, he had difficulty convincing his record label, Columbia, to allow him to do it.
And there was that element of risk and danger you mentioned, worries about what might happen. Was there ever a problem, a bad situation at Folsom or his other prison shows?
You know, generally, no. There's a story from the 1970s when he went into a prison and there was some hostility among some of the audience who really weren't interested in seeing him. The times were changing by the 1970s, but generally, no. The inmates welcomed him. They really seemed to sense that Cash understood and sympathized with their plight. In fact, I interviewed Merle Haggard, who was at San Quentin as an inmate in the late 1950s when Cash performed. And he said, you know, Cash Cash was somebody on the outside who appeared to be making it, and if he could be, making it on the outside, maybe we could too. He suspects that Cash knew that if it hadn't been for good lawyers, for example, Cash had been arrested for bringing amphetamines into the country from Mexico in the mid-1960s, that he too may have been imprisoned. That Cash understood that there wasn't much distance between him and a prison sentence, and the inmates picked up on that, and that gave the album an edge. You know, just the idea that it's recorded in prison, the idea that these men are rapists, they're murderers. It's something actually that the record company, once it did release the album, really exploited in order to help sell the album.
Yeah, there's a moment in the album that always sticks out to me. Is he sings a line, something like, he killed a man just to watch him die, and then this cheer goes up from the audience, from the inmates. Do you know anything about that moment and how real it was?
I do, as a matter of fact. When I wrote the book that you mentioned, Sony, which owns Columbia Records now, kindly let me into their archives to listen to the raw tape. And as I was listening to the raw tape, the actual recording, I hear him sing, "I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die." And it's silent. There's no crowd noise. And I asked the engineer to rewind it, and he was even befuddled. We didn't hear this crowd noise. Well, then we got the edit that was used to actually press the album. And sure enough, we're watching that tape roll by, and he sings, "I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die," and you see a piece of tape, and then these shouts and hoots, and then another piece of tape that had been edited in for dramatic effect. And I think everybody who's found this out has been surprised. It's really so much part of the DNA.
Yeah,
of
sounds
that
a
album.
Little disingenuous and sort of misrepresenting of, you know, the atmosphere there too.
Well, I think it did give the album again that element of danger that Columbia wanted in order to sell the album. At the same time, that's not the only editing that occurred. Cash went into Folsom Prison on January 13th, 1968, and recorded two concerts. And the album is the result of those two albums. So bits and pieces were taken from both shows.
Now, you mentioned Johnny Cash dealing with addiction then and at other points in his life. What was his state, or do we know his state of mind actually going out on stage? Was he taking pills for that show?
You know, Marshall Grant, who I interviewed, he's since died. He was Cash's bass player. Says that Cash was about 60% straight that day, which was about as close as you could get him to clarity. But I want to say this, that the album signaled not only a renaissance in his career, but also a few very good years in terms of his health. He did for a time put aside his drug habit. It would come back in the 1970s, but the affirmation that this album gave him seemed to replace the drug there for a while.
As you listen back to it, and you've studied it, you've listened to it a lot, what moments stick out to you as the most transcendent or powerful?
Yeah, you know, Cash had heard about this inmate named Glenn Shirley, and Shirley was in Folsom. He played the guitar, he wrote songs, and Shirley gave some of his songs to a preacher who Cash knew. And the preacher gave those songs to Cash, and Cash decided that, hey, wouldn't it be a great idea to bring these songs into the concert? And he recorded on the album the song Greystone Chapel, and it's really it's the moment that I think defines the album, because here he is reaching out to an inmate, he's singing his song. He's bringing the connection there in very clear terms, and so the cheering that you hear when he introduces Glenn Shirley is not manufactured. It's not a studio trick. Clearly, the audience just loved the fact that Cash was reaching out to this individual inmate.
Michael, we're talking about this all these years later. You've written a book all about this recording and this album. What is it about this album that makes it loom large in our American musical landscape?
You know, every once in a while, somebody in country music, and we were, there was a chat about this on Facebook today, records something that's significant. And this album intersected its message that we should really have compassion for people who are on the fringes of society. It was a very 1960s message. And so it intersected with a mood in the country that art and music could be used to draw attention to social issues. And I think that message never gets old. On the other hand, you know, the Americans' interest in darkness and the legend of the outlaw, which also kind of emanates from this album, has never died either. So I think it remains evergreen for that reason. It's social message and its edge.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us and talking about it today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Michael Streisguth, the author of Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, The Making of a Masterpiece.